Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation on this Medical Monday about getting a good night's sleep with Dr. Peter Weitzel, Medical Director of the Howard University Sleep Disorder Center. Lines are still open if you have a question at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What are the health hazards of not getting a good night's sleep, Dr. Weitzel?
So I would say there are very real consequences both to a inadequate duration of sleep and to some of the sleep disorders that we've talked about. So first of all, with respect to not enough time for sleep. So sleep is when our body really rejuvenates, rebuilds, and a lot of very important restorative things are happening during the night. And when we voluntarily cut that time short, we see real consequences. Of course, we don't perform our best, and there can be safety issues and those kinds of things from daytime drowsiness. But beyond that, what we find is that there actually are very real effects on blood pressure from just not enough sleep. So if we do population surveys, the people who are getting that 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours of sleep have an increased incidence of high blood pressure. We see heart disease increased in that population. What's of great concern to our community in particular is duration of sleep is very tightly connected with obesity and weight issues. And it is now a very strong and well-established connection that if you cut yourself short on sleep, you are going to struggle much more with weight control. You'll have a much harder time with diet efforts, and just adding in a little extra time for sleep can make a real difference. We can actually put people in an experimental setting and restrict their sleep, and what we'll find is that their blood sugars start to go higher. The food choices that they're making become very poor choices. That their calorie intake goes way up just from that inadequate duration of sleep. So I think that's a very important message for our community to be aware of.
In the fitness community, they often say, if you're sleeping, you're not eating. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and you're raiding the refrigerator, that also contributes to some of the things that you were just talking about poor food choices and obesity and the like.
Absolutely. And scientists have even looked at the centers of the brain and which centers are active. And in the situation of not enough sleep where you're restricted, we find that the appetite centers of the brain go into high activity and are more thoughtful, well-made decision-making parts of the brain actually become inactive. So it really does affect our behavioral choices.
Is there anything wrong with napping?
So the question would be why you're napping. And so if it's that you are in a situation where you just can't get enough sleep, you're working multiple jobs and there just isn't enough time at night, then to try to fill in with a little more sleep during the daytime is certainly better than nothing. And so, yes, getting your sleep when you can be helpful. If you're someone with insomnia who's having a hard time getting through the night and then you're taking naps in the daytime, that might not be so helpful. Then you're probably compounding your trouble with sleep at night.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think that is probably symptomatic of the modern world that we live in, you mentioned working extra hours, extra jobs, and the like. I remember when I was in television, I did a morning show, which meant that I had to be at work at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get off at 11. I would go home and I would sleep from 11 until about 2 o'clock. I would get up, run errands, do other things. Then I would go back to bed around 8 and sometimes 9 o'clock and wake up at 1 o'clock. And I did that 5 days a week. I had that schedule for years. Well, it took years for my body to adjust to regular work hours. There are a lot of people like that, whether they have media jobs or they work third shift or what have you. Is that a health issue for them?
It actually is. And unfortunately, we really do a disservice to our night shift workers, the people that have to work these very erratic hours. Rotating shifts are probably the worst of all.
Nurses and firefighters.
Unfortunately so. And what we know is there are actual real health consequences, cardiovascular health consequences. Again, hypertension, cardiovascular disease. This does come from these imposing shifts on our body that we really wouldn't naturally be gravitating to. There are a lot of consequences we pay, but you know, we do what we have to meet the workplace needs.
So for those who are working those unusual shifts, how can they address any health issues related to sleep? You know, when things are erratic, does that mean, you know, taking naps? Does it mean better sleep hygiene? What do you recommend?
So, yes, the most healthy lifestyle you can employ will minimize the effects to some degree. You try to create as much stability as you can that your schedule will permit for you. You want to try to kind of minimize the light at the end of your shift. So again, you're not sending your brain the signal and that you'll have a little bit of an easier time getting to sleep afterwards. Potentially, again, I'm not a big pill pusher, but if getting some sleep during daytime hours is a real challenge, then potentially something like melatonin or even other products could be necessary to try to allow a person to be getting some sleep when they get the opportunity.
Talk to me about this study in Menopause Magazine suggesting that hot flashes and night sweats increase the risk of obstructive sleep apnea for middle-aged women.
So I think the story there, sleep apnea in middle-aged individuals is going to be much more common, about 2 to 1 male to female. And it's thought perhaps that estrogen plays an important role in why that's true. And then as women go through menopause and their estrogen levels are declining substantially, what we find is that difference between men and women tends to go away in terms of the frequency of sleep apnea. So I think that menopause is kind of heralding that loss of estrogen and loss of its protective effects. I would say women in general do seem also to present a little differently in terms of obstructive sleep apnea. So whereas in men, we tend to get a lot of loud snoring and kind of obvious irregular breathing. In women, it can be a more subtle kind of problem. So many times they tend to present more with insomnia difficulties and less so that excessive sleepiness that we can see sometimes in men. And they just kind of present more with a broken night and may not get even a strong story for a lot of severe loud snoring.
Real quick, I've got about a minute left. Some final thoughts about the best sleep hygiene.
I think that, you know, throughout the day, the cardiovascular exercise, the healthy intake of caffeine, no caffeine abuse, alcohol and cigarettes are very counterproductive for sleep. And so I think trying to to be healthy in that regard actually will make a big difference. And trying to have a stable time with protected time for sleep, that you don't have your patterns go all over the place, that you try to get your body into a good stable rhythm when it knows when it is time for sleep and when it's time for daytime activities. The body really does much better when it's allowed to kind of fall into a rhythm and a groove that's predictable.
Sounds good to me. Dr. Peter Weitzel with the Howard University Sleep Disorder Center, thank you so much for coming in. And hope everyone has a good night's sleep tonight. So again, I appreciate it. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, November 6th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. And by the way, the information to reach the Howard University Sleep Disorder Center, of course, will be posted on WHUR.com on the Daily Drum page.